have Brother Buck back with us this morning, one of our missionaries. Didn't know he's here until I seen him pull up this morning. Let's turn back to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We've been doing the word study in Proverbs, like I've said every Sunday. Proverbs hard to teach if you just go verse by verse. Subject changes an awful lot. It's written for one reason. There's six reasons there that we looked at in several times. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's the reason the book's written. It tells you right in the first two or three verses why it's written. But I want to, as we've been doing word studies, and we looked at, the first word we looked at was heart. And we looked at how many times that word was used in Proverbs. Then we went to the poor, and how many times poor. When a word's used a lot of times in Proverbs or in any place in the Bible, you better pay attention. And the heart was, that's the problem of mankind. And that's, now, what we started looking at last week was word and words. And we went through, I had them divided into categories, man's words, and how they're supposed to be, then God's words, and then words of that woman that you see in Proverbs, who is representation of that mystery of iniquity, that whore, and that's what she is, is Satan's words, his bride. So, I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to kind of, I may repeat some of the same scriptures a couple times today because of the way they fall out in the study here. But let's start reading in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. Now, you know that where we studied those sowings and those paths that those words fell on. You know, that's what I thought of when I read this. But in chapter 7, it started talking a lot about that woman. But here in chapter 8, he's talking about the way to take heed to that woman and be clear of her. Okay? Now, it says she cried. This is wisdom. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. That's critical. This is not just a father talking to a son. This is just not Solomon's instruction, but that this is the Holy Spirit and God, and we'll see this today, talking to us too. Sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. God's words never needed to be corrected. Not in any dispensation. You know, as I was thinking this week, right after, I guess even back before, many years back, but ones we're familiar with, right around the turn of the century, 1890s, 1900, all the Bible corrections. And what were they designed to do? All to give man a better understanding and more knowledge of the book. There's less knowledge than there ever was. They're not working. And they never was intended to work. So, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Now, this is one of the words we're going to look at in a minute. Excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. That was one of the most important verses I saw in the study of Proverbs. As I told you, froward, you'll hear a lot of definitions of it. But if you'll stay with the biblical interpretation of froward, it's twisted. It's deceitful. Yes, there's many, many that you could add in there and say which would be a part of it, like stubborn, rebellious. But those are products of being froward. Twisted. As I said last week, the froward mouth is like CBS and NBC, these news. What do? They give you just enough truth to twist the whole matter. And, hey, it's got to be the whole truth. Now watch this. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. They're plain and they're right. Making wise the simple. Do you understand that? They're hidden from the wise and prudent. But they'll make wise the simple man. As one verse we'll look at in a minute. Go ahead, brother.
As we go out and knock on doors and get people to accept Jesus Christ, it is the simple ones that receive Christ.
Yeah. It'll make a simple man wise. But the wise and prudent, these things are hid from him. We'll look at these scriptures in just a minute. He says in verse 10, let me read 9 one more time. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. We're going to run some things down on that a minute. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find knowledge of witty inventions. Prudence is that ability to make right decisions and walk the right path. That ability. And it dwells with wisdom. The fear of the Lord, you know, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth. Do I hate? Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. I have strength. Now I want us to go back and look at some of these and do some comparisons to some other scriptures. But in verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. So you see, these words are truth. That's all right. And then look at verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. The Word of God is excellent, and it's truth. We have no problem understanding these words. We know what a lie is. Sometimes we'll run across a word like froward, and I had to find out about that word, and I got so many definitions. I said, I'm going to let the Bible define it. And that's what I had to do. That froward mouth, all right? The excellent truth. All right, then look at verse 6. It's right things. Here, for I will speak excellent things, and the open of my lips shall be right things. There's nothing froward about them. There's nothing twisted about them. Oh, people say, oh, the Bible's so twisted. It's so hard to understand. It's got to be rightly divided to get the natural truth of it. But you don't have to understand much at all to understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Or Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now what problem do you have with those verses? There's nothing froward about it. Man twists it. And he twists it from the things that I've said in this class many times. To build a foundation under what he already believes or to support his lifestyle. That's the way a lot of people like to do it. They'll find some way to support their lifestyle with the scriptures. All right? And look at verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So the words of God are plain. When you read John and see what Jesus said, they're plain words. They're right words. And then look at verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. That's what he's saying when he says the words of the Lord are pure words. And we're going to do some comparing here in a minute. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. They're all spoken in righteousness. Now I want us to turn to Psalms 19, and I want us to do a comparison of what he says in Psalms 19 and Proverbs 8. In Psalms 19, and now here we see what he's talking about. He's talking about the Word of God. This is just not David's words to Solomon or my words to Travis or your words to Keith. These are God's words to mankind. And we're going to see that with the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures here in just a few minutes with that. But let's look at what it says in Psalms 19 in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's excellent. He's saying here it's perfect. It's complete. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's what it does. The statutes of the Lord are right. Wasn't that what it said over there in Proverbs? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now you see why Proverbs is written. In the keeping of the words of God, there is great reward. You know, if a man just applied the principles of the Word of God, of Proverbs, if he just did that, he'd be successful. Right? What is a successful man? Psalms 1. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff the wind bloweth away. Because once you know God and once you understand his word, and that's what you're seeking for, some of these other things are not important. You know what success is. We want to teach our children to be successful in this world. A Christian is going to be separate from this world. Now, he has to live and endure in this world. He has to live here. And he has to work here. And he has to do the right things in doing it. But he's not, as Job says, and we'll look at this scripture, he's not going to make gold his hope or find gold his confidence. See, everybody's saying, well, they've lost hope in America. Lost hope in... I've never had hope in America. Have you? If how much the dollar's worth is their hope or their confidence, as the old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It is. It's going down and it's going to burn. Job said, if I'd made gold my hope or find gold my confidence. He hadn't. He made God his hope. All right. Let's So we've comparing here in Proverbs 8 to Psalms 19, and you see some of these same words. They're pure. They're perfect. They're sure. These are the words of God. All right, let's go back up and look at, they're spoken in righteousness. Let's turn to Proverbs. Now let's go back to look at excellent truth. Look at Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear. How many times do you see that in Proverbs? Incline thine ear. Bow down thine ear. As I've said over and over in here, Kay was fussing at me this week. A man was trying to talk to him, and he had a low voice. He said, your head's right up in his face. Well, I couldn't hear. Amen. I was inclining my ear to him. Now, when God speaks, it's we inclining our heart, see. It's our ear he's talking about, but it's our heart that's inclining through that ear. And he says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So we talked about our words last week. We want to have the words of God, and we want them fitted. We want to bow down our ear, says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit and the judgment seat of Christ, God saying to us, have I written to thee? I don't have time in this class today to run this rabbit. It's not a rabbit, but it's a doctrine. But 1 John, these things have I written to you children. These things have I written to you the fathers. You see the growth pattern in 1 John. Starting with the children all the way through the fathers. These things have I written. And these things that I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. This written word. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels? What did he say a while ago? These excellent. He said, the words of my mouth are excellent things. They're right things. There's nothing froward about them. They're not twisted. And they're not to deceive you. They're to lead you and guide you. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. All right? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Look at that. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Preach the word. Answer with the word. The word to be fitted to your lips. Okay, let me move on. They're right things. They're plain and right. Okay? And they're spoken in righteousness. Look at Proverbs 35. All of us are familiar with these verses. But you see, when we go to study in Proverbs, 30 and verse 5. 30. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. They're pure words. Every word is pure. They're clean. They're righteous. They're right. And add thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. I'm learning more every time I teach to try to keep me out of this. It's hard to do. But it's the Word of God that is pure. That's why it does the work, not me. And it just does it, all right? So in Psalms 19, we saw perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, righteous. And then in Psalms 19:10, more to be desired. Let me turn back there. One more time. Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold. You see that? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. How sweet is the Word of God to us? How much do we desire it? How do you get wisdom? Hey, it's in here. Let's go back. I'm going to hold my finger here and go back. Well, I won't even have to come back here. But more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his arrows? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We could go right on with that too, and the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, revealing the intents of the heart. We could go on with that, but let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Got so many scriptures running here this morning, I'm losing my place, but that's what we're here to hear. Receive my instruction, verse 10, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Fear the Lord, in verse 13, is to hate pride and arrogancy. Arrogancy is pride at work. You realize that? Pride can be in a man and you never know it. But when the arrogancy comes out, that's the pride at work. It is. Arrogancy is pride doing its job, doing its work. And the evil way in the froward mouth. All right, so what I want us to look at right now in Psalms 19:10 and in Proverbs 8, the speaker is not only wisdom, but Christ and the Holy Spirit. I made that statement a while ago. That's what's speaking here. I want you to turn to John 17:17. After reading all of these scriptures, then see what Jesus is saying to his disciples. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is a prayer. That's God's word. Jesus to God. God's word is truth. A man is sanctified by the truth. Now, I want you to look at John 16:13. Howbeit, now you see what was going to do the warning a while ago and all of this? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, turn back. You see, we got to make this plain here, to make this understanding that this is just not a man talking to his son. You pick up these commentaries, and that's what when the word starts cutting them. That's what they want to do. They want to go back and compare all of this. That's just him talking to that son to make these wise decisions. Stay away from that whore. No, it's God talking to us. And that whore is a system that we're dealing with every day. And she desired, her doors are the gates to hell. Why did John, when he stood in Revelation, and he saw who this was, who this mystery of iniquity, this whore, this mystery of Babylon, the whore. He saw it and he was amazed, wasn't he? He stood there in total amazement. Why, you can't say it was Rome? That wasn't amazing because they got him in prison. He's seen them put him up on the crosses down the sides of the road. He's seen them throw him into the lions. But when he saw who mystery of iniquity was that, I hate to use it this way, but that church down the street that had blended in a little leaven and leavened the whole lump, had just enough truth. And what does she do? She flattereth with her words. See, the words of wisdom, the words of the Lord are pure words. When you see words start flattering man, back up and get out of it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because there's something wrong there.
Amen.
Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
As Paul quoted over in Psalms, and David in Psalm 51, when thou art judged. When David said, before you judge me, told God, before you judge me, said, just remember, I was created in sin, and sin did my mother conceive me. Don't work, David. He's judging God, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So what did Paul say when he used that scripture as a comparison? He said, let God be true and every man a liar. He put David in a sad situation, didn't he? He put David in a man's situation, a man of God's own heart. David said, oh, God, now you made me this way. You made me have this desire that when I stood on that roof and I looked out there and took that woman, you made me that way, God. What's God going to do? Mock. What's mock mean? Repeat after. You made me that way. Think on those things. Now, I'm not being silly. He's going to mock at it. Judgment, there's no excuse. David had none. Okay, that's a little rabbit there, but let's get back to the scriptures. John 16:13. Proverbs 1:23. I want you to turn there. Hold your place there in John 16. And turn to Proverbs 1:23. Who is this talking? This is wisdom. Look at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Five places here. She crieth in the chief places of concourse and the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. We've covered that twice already, but you see the order of salvation right here. Repentance, receiving the Holy Spirit, and understanding God's word. Without one, the other one don't come. But what is repentance? Turn. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. All right, and it says over here in John, he said, when he, the Holy Spirit, who has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. It is the words of God, and it's the Holy Spirit, is wisdom. Crying out. And whenever a preacher stands on the corner, stands in the gates, stands in the pulpits, knocks on the doors, the Holy Spirit is crying, "Turn, ye simple ones." Now, let's look at Luke 11:49. Now I'm about to lose my place in the world, but I'll just keep moving through it here. Luke 11:49. I don't know why I wrote that down here. We'll search it out and see. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. I can see why I wrote that in my Bible a long time ago. The wisdom of God said that. And it was written. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit and Christ speaking. Christ said, my words. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Now, he didn't say they're spiritual. That's the way we want to look at it. I've been whooped on a lot, and all I've done is stand there and take it. But I'll still stand there and take it. That I'm making too much out of this word. Yes, this is paper, pulpwood. But brother, the Spirit of God that's in it, and his words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word became truth and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. This book is spirit. And it is truth. This book is alive. This book is a discerner of the intents of the heart. This book makes decisions. This book will judge you. Now, people don't want to hear that. Why? Because they're judging the book. The only people that will try to beat me up on that statement who's a man who likes the Greek and the Hebrew, and can't read either one of them. And to judge me for them. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See where your hope's got to be? If you're putting your hope in anything other than what's laying in your lap, you got a problem. Because you can't put it in your feelings. You can't put it in your memory. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. Huh? You better put it in this Word of God. If you're putting it on what you remember, your memory's going to leave. But my Bible says he would not forsake me, nor leave me. It said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is your hope? If I have made gold my hope or fine gold my confidence, the only hope America's got is this book. And she's given it away. She's turned her doors on it. And shut her doors to it. Now, there's some simple folks, as they had said out there a while ago, that'll hear it. And what are they going to hear? How long, oh, you simple ones? That's what you're saying. Will you refuse the Word of God? I don't know what time it is. You left to holler when the bell rings. All right. There's a lot of other verses I'm not going to get to, but we saw in Proverbs 1:23 that he said he would make known his words unto us. And he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. What the whole thrust of Proverbs, where it says word and words, is the words of God. Is exactly what it did. Now, there's some places where that I laid out here the first lesson where it's the words of man and how they're snares, how they're deep water, how that they set a trap for us. Our own words do. Have you ever said something, know it'll come back to haunt you? Lord, yeah, many times. Okay. Said the words are things to be noticed. Let's look at Isaiah 29:14. So many scriptures there. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. These things are hid from the wise. When a man, there's an old saying, he's just too smart for God. That's about the truth of it, isn't it? Man gets to thinking he's just too smart. These things that God said are pure, and they're plain, and they're simple, and they're excellent, and they're right. And they're more to be desired than gold. There is the price for wisdom. I think that's in Proverbs chapter 2, the price. We've looked at it a couple of times, but let's look at it again. There's a price for it, folks. God's going to give us His Holy Spirit to guide us and to work with us. But He says too many times in here, these things have I written. These things have I written. That's where you get your instruction. To know wisdom, verse 2 of chapter 1. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. This is where you get this out of God's Word. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Okay? Now, how do you get it? Chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find knowledge of God. When we seek her, we cry after her, we desire her more than gold and silver, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. All right? Go back to Proverbs 8. What does the fear of the Lord produce? Right here in Proverbs 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's a promise of God. Those that seek me early. Those who cry after wisdom. Those who love it more than silver or gold. You can't watch anything on TV much now. I like to watch the news a lot, and then you'll see those commercials. Gold. Don't trust this economy. Trust this gold. They need to put the book up there and say, trust this. Because you can't eat that gold. Fine gold. Not our confidence. All right? You see, the learned man, he can't get this. Why? Because these things are hidden from the wise and prudent. Not to say a smart man can't get it. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying the wise and prudent, they want something else. They want their own glory. And the simple man can't get it. The unlearned man, as it said over there in Isaiah, right where I was at a while ago, he brought this to the wise man and said, read it. And he couldn't because it's hid from him. He brought it to the unlearned man and said, read this. And he said, I can't because I'm unlearned. That's no excuse either. Is it? Let's look at Proverbs 17:16. We covered this one just a few weeks ago when we were looking at the heart. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Seeing he hath no heart to do it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, isn't it? The rod of correction will drive it far from. He hath no heart to it. A man that wants wisdom will do what God said to do. He'll apply himself to it. And then he'll practice it. And it is hard. It's not an easy task. And it don't come easy. It was bought with a great price. All right? Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for your word. Pray, God, that you'll bless in the next hour, Lord. Help our hearts to be open to your word as this preached. God, help sinners, Lord, to realize that they can come to you and get forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.